By addressing the chairperson and stating your name and address. You will notice that all our meetings are recorded, and this is to aid with the summarization of the minutes. Visitors are welcome, and we allow 5 minutes of comments per visitor and 15 minutes per topic. Discussions will be held in a calm and civilized manner and respectful of others. Select board members present are
Mike Denault.
Doug Wright.
Nancy Bashika.
John Dunn.
Kurt Kamara.
Will there be any adding of items that can't wait until next meeting or removing items from tonight's agenda?
Yeah, I came from the media to ask a question to the select board, and I was told this is the appropriate time to address you guys. Is that true?
Yes, but I'll do it under hearing of visitors.
Oh, sure. Sounds good.
Yep. Will there be any adjustments to the agenda, such as changing the order of items?
No, I just have some additional correspondence.
Okay, and just to remind everyone that Jeb is recording the meeting, and it'll be on his YouTube site. All right.
Where's your hammer, Nancy? You might need
to... Oh. Okay. Hearing of visitors. Yes, sir.
Hi, I'm a visitor. My name is Josh Landes. I'm from WAMC News.
Josh?
Landes, L-A-N-D-E-S. Here's a card for you. And I'm making a recording as well, just so that you guys know. I'm here because...
WAMC News for where?
I'm based out of Pittsfield, Massachusetts.
Okay.
Yeah. So I was trying to contact members of the select board to ask about the resignation of your school principal. He sent out a message to the community that was very explicit about his experience in Stanford, and I was interested to hear if the select board has a response to that.
This is not anything to do with select board. The school and the select board town are separate, so you would have to ask the select board. School board.
Let me ask you just in the capacity of, like, you know, you guys are leaders in your community and representative to some degree of Stanford. In this message, Randy, can't remember his last name, an F, I believe, but he talked about a feeling of being experiencing prejudice or homophobia in Stanford. And I was interested in your thoughts on that as people who represent the community.
Not as far as I know.
Okay. So to direct a question to Mr. Denault, I was going through your social media today, and your attitudes about homosexuality in the schools are well expressed in that format. I was interested, with that in mind, given that you seem to be comfortable talking about that publicly in your personal life, I was interested in your role capacity as a Stanford leader. Does that represent the community's feelings about that community?
I follow the state laws and the Constitution of the United States as a select board member.
Okay. Well, I was interested because you posted about your concerns about the gay agenda in schools on Facebook.
And that's my personal life.
Well, that's true, but you're an elected official, which comes with its own capacity. So given that the school's principal left the community citing that concern, and that's something you've put your name to in public, I'm interested if you can speak to that.
No, I have no comment about that at all. I've met with the principal many times, been at meetings many times, and have not seen any problems at all with myself or him.
Okay.
We've actually interacted very well.
Gotcha. Like, I just broadly, like, that's, it's a large statement to make about a community, and I just wanted to give the opportunity to the leaders of the community to respond to that. Are you saying essentially you don't have much of a comment on that accusation, or?
No, because this doesn't involve the town and what we're here for. We're here for the town as select board members.
Right, and I guess I'm arguing as someone who covers dozens and dozens of communities, you guys are the leaders of the town, so I suppose, yes, bureaucratically there's a distinction, but, you know, as its representative, you know, you feel like it's a school department issue?
Yes.
Okay.
Okay.
Gotcha. Okay, thank you guys very much. I really appreciate it.
Okay.
Bye.
Thank you. Any other visitors, comments? Okay. Reading and approval of records.
No.
Oh.
I'm
looking over there.
I wanted to add financing of the new fire engine to the agenda.
Yes, Lori gave me the bills.
Okay.
Yeah. Okay. Reading and approval of records and orders from last meeting. Can I have a motion to accept the minutes as approved?
I make a motion that we approve the meeting minutes.
Thank you, Lisa.
From June 20th.
Can I have a second?
I'll second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Okay. Thank you. Road conditions. Where would you like to start, Dave? You want to go with the FEMA, the class two,
yeah,
or the...
How about we start with what's on the agenda and go from there?
Okay. FEMA sub-grant agreement for Klondike Road damages.
So that, I just wanted to let you know, has made it through every FEMA hurdle that they could throw at us, and it was time to actually sign the grant agreement. This is only for the Klondike culvert mitigation piece, which is only one road out of all the ones that were damaged. The total loss for this one road was $11,602. So, because we don't have our hazard mitigation plan finalized, they're only going to pay 75% of that, which is $8,701. And our portion would be $2,900 and some change. The other two projects, Charles called me again today. I came in and had to call him back. They want more GPS coordinates. We gave them just one coordinate. Here's the damage. But the way he worked out the math of the dimensions, it's long enough that now he wants a beginning coordinate and an end coordinate. And I don't know, when you look at Google Maps, if I can get that specific when you're looking at like 300 feet.
You can't just go by the line.
Where is Charles anyway? And
he's from down south, but they fly him up to work on big FEMA projects in Vermont. So they're putting him up in a hotel, and he's got...
He should stop here and look and go around, and that would be a whole lot
easier.
They
did it themselves. They already did all this work themselves, yeah. When they're here, but...
Okay. GPS coordinates are going to be more accurate than a tape measure?
No.
Well, that's the hard part. And, you know, he estimated a certain width and length and depth. So, you know, all we can do is now try and accommodate the numbers. And I don't
go with his numbers.
Do you want us to hire, like, an engineer and...
Oh, Lord. Can you just stand there with your phone and...
For a small town.
Right, hire an engineer for $20,000.
Yeah, really crazy. Like, just...
They have informally asked for the information, and if we can get it to them in the next couple of days and it works, it'll be good. If not, it becomes a formal request, and it may involve another site visit team and an inspection team to determine all of this, and I'd rather not go through all that. But
do the best you can with them and send it. And
does anybody have a handheld GPS? Off of their phone,
just phone. Yeah, I'm not too familiar, but I'm sure you can use your phone today.
Download. You can download.
Take the number, double it, and let them argue.
Cal Taco.
Yeah, like that. Yeah.
Do a quick.
Cal Taco is a good reason.
Guaranteed, if it's too much, they'll come back to you.
Yeah, that's what I think.
Right.
That's what I'm worried about. If it doesn't make the right yardage, we're going to be in trouble.
Well, we know how much yardage when it's going to go backwards. That's right.
That's what we read. I got guys who can't read a tape measure, so I mean, that's just the way it is.
Have they sent you a number that they have? They sent you a parameter that they're like, we think it's this, but do you think it's something different? Because otherwise, just go with theirs and get.
Yeah, they're really just trying to set us up to fail. Their whole.
Oh wow.
They're trying to get out of pain. From what I can tell, they've come at us I don't know how many times with the same questions, and then they want us to measure holes that don't exist anymore.
It's like the money.
And they weren't even, you know. Mm-hmm. We're talking about where the water went down the road and zigzagged and was deeper in one spot. They wanted to come up with a volume for a hole that doesn't exist. I can't go measure it anymore, which we've argued, and they seem to agree. Because what they wanted to do was audit us on our information.
It's classic insurance.
I can't give them an accurate number at this point.
Yeah.
So he created his own numbers.
Yeah.
Of, well, it took, you know, four loads of gravel and this and that, so that must fill a hole this long by this wide and this deep, and then anything over 200 feet long, you can't just give one GPS coordinate for the center. Now you've got to actually give the beginning and the end, which...
I can tell them. It's just, whatever we bought for gravel is what went in the hole. There's your number.
That's right. Right. And work it backwards.
You can't get more accurate than that. It's a trust issue, I guess.
Work it back.
So,
do the best you can, Lori and Dave. And
it's not good continues.
Our plan, didn't we finalize a hazardous mediation?
No, she's coming next select board meeting to go over the plan and.
We've done our part.
Yes.
Yeah.
And it's been approved by the state, so we have to adopt it.
Okay.
Is that the step, Lori? That's what.
So that's it for the FEMA. We'll submit as much as we can. The other one, we were approved for the class two structures and roadway grant that Dave and I submitted last, maybe fall. A $200,000 project, so they will pay $160,000. We'll have to pay the other like 40-ish. That's agreement. This grant agreement will have to be signed.
And where is that?
Yeah, we have one of these things.
It's for a shim and chip seal for East Road.
East Road. Okay. It's the class two, so it kind of has to be the East Road.
Oh, yeah.
Are these matches, can we use labor hours also?
We could, but in this particular project, we're really not going to have any labor hours.
Oh, okay.
Can I make a motion to accept it?
Okay.
I'll second.
All in favor?
Aye.
We'll have to budget for it for next year.
$200,000. Okay. Chip seal. Okay. Dave, this is kind of old business from last meeting. We talked about the trees at the top of the lane in East Road. They did not get blown down in this storm, unfortunately.
I was going to say, couple with a chainsaw, maybe, you know.
But I guess I was a little confused on the letter of what we were writing to the people, so I just wanted to see what the board, what we decided. I thought the board was going to send a letter to the owners saying it's a liability for these trees, you should have them removed. Is that...
So we didn't send the letter yet?
No, because Dave had another impression that, and I thought, I don't think so.
When we're improving, they're not dead trees, right? They are the landowner's property, but they're not dead. And we're really trying to improve the road. When I go out to improve a road and try to widen a section of road, we cut the trees. We don't ask them to cut the trees. I think in this case, they're healthy, old maple trees. Or we want to cut them down to improve the road for safety reasons.
Well, is that the dead one that's on top of the lane there on the right?
The stump.
Well, there's a stump, but we didn't add that. That's gone anyway.
Okay.
Oh, okay.
These are the other two on
heading north
on the left.
Okay.
Right. So I think if we ask somebody else to pay to take down the trees that are perfectly fine, we probably not going to want to do it. We may get some resistance on us even doing it after. I mean, they may have some fight in it. I mean, they're public shade trees in a way. I mean, they're old, they're landmarks, I would say, almost.
I've seen the trees. They're not going to be like anything that's going to be cheap to take down.
No, so.
would a mirror in place on in a certain area coming up on from the lane, would that help?
Yeah, because that'll be a lot cheaper, a mirror.
A mirror, you know, some places when there's a blind spot, they put a mirror in place, so that might be a cheaper alternative than removing those big maple trees. With the permission of whoever owns the tree to put the mirror on.
So how do you want to proceed then? I
well, I'm
I
glad
was
that
thinking
the stump,
one
the
way.
Stump is, I think,
I would say
bigger
the stump,
problem.
The stump can go.
Yeah.
It's a tricky spot to begin with because you're coming out of the hole. You're in the lane coming up out of the hole and you got to get way up on top to the sea.
The stump is the biggest problem. Yeah. When I went up there, I know you've got to get by the stump.
Left
isn't as bad.
I would say once the stump's gone, you're going to try to look left and go, I can't see. I mean, I think it's just... A lot of times when you're pulling out of there, I've had it with my plow truck especially. I mean, I'm already in the intersection.
Yeah, the plow's stick out way farther than the kid.
I'd really like to see him go. I'd like to just see, write a letter and say we're taking him down, pay to have him taken down. I think.
So don't ask this, just say we will be doing this, see if there's any resistance and then
I would say we're going to be taking these trees down and.
It's within our right of way.
Yeah, it's within the right of way. We wanted you to be aware of it in case you have any objection to it.
Mm-hmm.
Or you want the wood or something along those lines.
Okay.
I mean, we're perfectly legal to do it, but we kind of want to fight.
Sure. To be honest with you, if the town came and asked me if I wanted to cut them down and pay for it, I'd say no.
Right. We don't have to cut them.
Yeah, you want to cut.
You might not get as much resistance as you think.
I just feel like it's going to be a back and forth thing. If we ask this person, hey, I don't want to speak for her, but I'm guessing she's going to tell us no. Why would they?
Right.
They're not dead. They don't see how they're a liability to her, really. I mean.
I was just treating it like I assumed it was like the chicken incident. You know, the chickens are going to cause an accident, and this would
sure
they would come back
that,
to you.
That didn't go well either. Well, we had a song and dance in that one.
Probably longer than any of us have been around.
Yeah. Some of those holy trees along the road, right?
Yeah, for sure. There's a lot. We really need a good tree policy. I know I said it last meeting, but we're. You know, especially in the situations we're in now. I mean,
there was no old ordinance buried deep in the archive. Well,
Lori
just removed some of the underbrush.
Lori did reach out to other towns, and one, I guess she got one back, and it's like the trees in the park, and not that it was nothing to do with us. It's kind of more like a big city. Yeah. So I guess if you can revise the letter. Well, maybe it's, to say we will take it down when we can. Okay. What else, Dave?
So, I think everybody's aware of the storm we had and some of the damage that we suffered as far as trees. There's a lot of debris. There's a lot of trees that are hung up. You're going to require more equipment than what I have. I would say a bucket truck. Last summer, 8 weeks we spent repairing flood work. I mean, I don't know how much this summer I got to get caught up on. I've got culverts and ditching, and to stop and try to clean up all this mess at this point, it's just, we're gonna end up spending money repairing roads because I didn't get to the road work I needed to do. So I'm suggesting that we hire somebody to clean some of this stuff up.
How far off the road do you have to clear this debris? I mean, you don't have to, if this...
Well, I
if
mean,
the,
some of the garage, I mean, you can leave it. If you guys want to leave it, it's out of the travel part of the road. I mean,
oh,
it's
yeah,
the
but
right
it's,
way,
you're
so
going to hit it with a plow, some of them.
Some of it is hanging up and it's dangerous. You know,
right.
Some
what if people come and start cutting it and they get hurt? How are we covering that?
Well, I would say if it's a company.
I mean, just hiring people, if we got a bunch of wood on the side of the road, are going to eventually come out and cut it for firewood.
I mean, technically, it's the landowner's.
Right, and there are people already doing that.
Yeah.
So, you know, if somebody just starts going cutting wood on the side of the road, they're kind of stealing in a way. They're not really allowed to do that. I mean, if I'm going to take the wood, I'm supposed to ask the property.
But Dave, what I wonder, now say the stump is 30 feet off the road, you wouldn't go all the way back there, you would just cut, that's for our safe passage.
I want to clear that over mowing, more or less.
Yeah.
You know, so we can continue mowing and pushing snow. And,
right.
You know, it's probably not going to be cleared all the way, you know, to the full extent of the right way, but the usable part of the right way anyway. But what I'm concerned about is there's a lot of these trees that are very hazardous trees. That we don't have the equipment, we don't have a bucket truck. No. We don't have to try to hook to some of these and pull them down. And you know, it's just some of them are broke. I mean, they're broke off and bent over at 20 feet. I mean, there's no, you know, it's not just trees. And
do you have you got any estimates under how many trees? And
no, I mean, I wanted to get your thoughts and get some direction for you before I wasted my. Because if you feel, because I can tell you right now that between mud season and a little bit of gravel we put down, I have no money left for summer maintenance.
Mm-hmm.
So,
a lot of trees.
It's a lot. It's a big mess.
Yeah,
it's going to take.
It's a mess.
I mean, for Michael and I to have to take it on, it's going to take us a while.
Yep.
We don't have any kind of chipper that's, you know, I mean, we've got a small one that was on the back of a Kubota that really doesn't hardly work.
Would
it'll take me the rest of the summer with that.
would, I know Dave said he doesn't have money, we don't have a lot in our budget, but would it be worth using some of the ARPA money for it?
How much ARPA money do we have left? I mean, it seems like I hear that a lot.
113.
But did
would it be overly optimistic to mention some kind of money from the store?
Well,
we did
reach out to Patrick Wilson from AOT. Mm. Don't quote me on this, but it's usually I think you have to go over 20% of what we consider our summer budget. And it used to be a 60-40 split, 60 summer. So 60 winter, 40 summer. So it makes us easier to qualify for it. But I don't know if Lori's heard back from him. And I don't know if it will exceed that threshold.
He did write us back and say, this seems to be an isolated incident. Most of Bennington County was not hit hard for the values to reach probably what it needs to for Bennington County. We could get in touch with FEMA and see if we qualify through FEMA. But he did say keep track of everything and that he would forward numbers to the Vermont Emergency Management Girl, and if other people are sending in numbers, it could potentially grow. And
from what I remember, the point of the Vermont emergency aid is for isolated incidences, because that's when it's not, that's when you go to FEMA.
So,
because we've used it before.
Can we take a lot of pictures? And I think we can't wait for them.
Yeah, no, we have to do it regardless.
Yeah. Take a lot of pictures, keep track of your time, equipment, like we do when we have to submit to FEMA. And
do you have companies in mind that you can call?
I don't know.
With that equipment? There's a lot of guys that can call.
I've seen one company in town, I never dealt with them, was that Alpha Arbor guy across from Nancy.
Black Diamond was here.
Yeah, I saw them. They're out of Wilmington. Greater Heights came down. I've used Greater Heights before. They were pretty reasonable. I think they're the ones that took down the ones in the school here. They were pretty reasonable.
Okay.
Like I said, I'm stretched kind of thing.
We'll be meeting in 2 weeks.
This is one storm, and we have another couple months of summer.
Yep.
And then you got plowing.
Right. That's why I really feel the need to get on some of my normal, you know, ditching and culverts. I mean, if you go up Risk Ranch, I've had the culverts for 5 years,
right,
and I haven't had a chance to get there yet. Right. And you can drive up there. You're driving over the culvert. They're out of there.
Oh, I know.
When you're running like the bare minimum, you can't have anything go wrong.
Dave.
From a scheduling standpoint,
and that's what we've been running for 10 years at least.
Dave, so you would go around with whatever company you call, mark the trees, because we don't want them taking.
I
understand.
Sure. I would say have them ship the brush and the stuff that's in the right of way. I mean, we're not going on people's yards.
Right, so. Right.
Right.
But the stuff that's in the right of way, and it's pretty obvious you go up the lane, I mean, both sides are.
Yes, it's, you know, not good.
Road. I've just pushed to make it convenient to be able to get the road open.
Yeah, if this company that you do hire, if one of the homeowners says, hey, you know, can you do mine, get ours done first, and then they can go back.
Yeah.
Don't be.
That stuff happens over paving too, you know.
Yeah.
People while they're driving. Sure. Typically, the companies won't even entertain it because they don't want to have that problem.
Right.
Well, I don't know how the board feels, but I'd say let's use the ARPA money, take that, and in the meantime, see if we qualify for this state emergency aid. Keep working on that, and then we can replace the money. Because I don't know where it's going to come from if we don't.
So do you, I mean, it's going to delay it some, but do you want me to get different prices from different, or do you guys want to pick somebody that, I mean, when we did the trees in the parking lot, we just called.
I'd rather give you the permission to go if you want to get three quotes. I don't think we need to have them come back. Your common sense says you're going to get the right guy. We got to put a little, you know, a little faith in our
workers. Right, right. 2 weeks we can't wait.
So I would say if you say, if, you know, if you, you might not even get anybody, Dave.
Right, well, that's the other,
other people. Yeah.
The other issue is that I'm sure that anybody that's anybody should be tied up.
Right, so I'm just saying, if you know a couple people, give them a call. If the guy says, you know, yeah, I'll do it. I think we need to.
I was thinking the Greater Heights people we've used before, and this Hellfire guy lives in town, so.
Yeah, I don't mind them. I live in the town at all.
So that's, I think, better, yeah. Get a price for maybe both of them.
Okay. Sure.
Yep, if you get a, and I think let Dave decide who he wants to work with and when they can come and work with your schedule. And
if for some reason it seems like this ridiculous number, I'm going to hold off and talk to you about it.
Yeah, yep.
Yeah.
You know, I if it's 10 grand, that might, I don't know.
I think it's more than that.
I was going to say that.
I mean, well, it's usually 500 a tree, I think, normally, around 500 a tree. A lot of these are, you know.
Use your common sense. And
I'd be interested in taking a ride around with you and
yeah.
giving you an idea of what it might cost.
Okay. Do we want to make a motion to do that? And
motion.
Go with it.
Okay. I'll make a motion.
Second.
When are you available, John?
All in favor?
I'll give you my number if it works out. Okay. I'm usually pretty close and not too far.
Okay. And if you can keep in touch with what's his name? Wilson? Who was the fellow that you talked to?
Patrick
Wilson. What else, Dave?
I mean, that's pretty much it. We're going to start switching over to ditching and doing culverts. The mowing was done. We went around and did a bunch of regrading on some of the spots that had the wheel sags that the water was in, and some washboards, and did some bunch of chloride.
Yeah, so I was on the Shure Road. The Shure Road looked really nice. Looked like you might have just chlorided it maybe within the last couple weeks.
Yeah, the other day I created.
Yeah, it looks nice.
On roads, we got an email from Wade Mercer from VLCT. He wants to know how we're proceeding with the suggestions he gave us. There's a couple of them that are low priority, medium priority. If you could start picking away, I keep saying we, but.
Yeah.
At least show them that we have good faith and we're going to try to do this.
So the email sounded like he came back, but then he said, if you already did some of this, let me know.
Yeah.
And I was kind of confused at that, where he was saying, well, here's my suggestions. You didn't do any suggestions. But if you did do suggestions, let me know. Did he even come back? And
he doesn't even know we didn't do any.
Right, okay. That's what I right. was like. This.
The thing is,
it didn't sound right. Yeah.
He did some suggestions that he had the last time. You know, some of them were repeats. But it's, I mean, the things that don't take any time, pretty much like ordering an eyewash out. And
right.
Like the way Lauren and I looked at them today.
Yeah.
But I want to make sure it's acceptable to for him, you know, before we order it.
Right.
But it's, I mean, we can put in for a passive grant. But all this stuff takes time.
Sure.
Yep.
Well, that's what I was going to bring it up is, here we're just talking about not enough time and now we got to do this.
Yeah, it's like the railing. I mean, okay, what am I going to do with the railing? What's going to make him happy?
Right.
You know, oh, I can do it. That's not what I do. It's,
right.
So I've already done it before and it's, he was good with it, and then now he's not good with it. You know, I feel like it's a waste of time. These are suggestions. There's nothing that's, like, just flat-out dangerous.
Well, that's the feeling I got from the email was, he's saying the word suggestion, but then he's saying, you didn't do it, and it sounds to me like it's not a suggestion.
Right.
It's a command, right. You know? I want you to get this done. I'm like, well, that doesn't make sense.
The insurance company wants no risk. And I'm not saying they're not good suggestions, but do I go out and dig the ditch so we don't lose the road and somebody crashes their car? Or do I, you know, fix the handrail again that may or may not.
I think we just have to show them that we're working on the list.
I mean, some of the things like ordering an eyewash fountain that they can just put two screws and put on the wall is not a big
deal.
Right.
Sure.
Yeah.
Yeah, what was the deal with the wood stove? It was like a medium rest, so that would probably be something we should probably look at more.
That's been an area that he doesn't like.
Not because of the type of stove, right. It's just because you burn a wood.
Exactly.
Yeah. Steel building.
Yeah.
The wood stove we have now is actually, you know, EPA, you know, it's got actual numbers and everything on it. The old one was just a homemade.
Right.
Right.
You really didn't like that.
What was the other one, Nancy, that was a medium risk?
There was the wood stove. The lockout tag out for anybody working there.
Get a lock right out of it.
Well, he suggested making something that goes on the wall that we, you know, you take the keys out of it and you hang the keys on the wall or something. It's Mike and me working.
I know.
Yeah, that's the world we live in today.
And every other contractor has their own lock.
You're supposed to each have your own lock and your own key. And
I mean, it's just...
It's like the GFCI outlets.
Yeah, I mean...
Change one or... But you can't do it.
You have to change them.
Yeah, you can't do it.
It's not that I can't do it. It's just... It's like a take-your-pick thing. There's no sitting around. I mean, it's two people and... I'm not complaining about it. Some of this stuff is just, you know, there's always all these other extra things. Right. Like, there are these storms. Every time it rains hard, I've got to go, you know, check stuff, make sure there isn't issues for the next time. Because when it rains as hard as it's been, it takes all the debris and plugs stuff up, whether it be a ditch or a culvert. So that's a whole lost day every time it rains hard. And you get 2 days in a row, you go right back around. It's...
What does he want with heat smoke detectors? Do you have any up there?
No.
Oh, maybe grab one somewhere and
don't
open the wood stove.
Where do you put it?
Don't open the wood stove.
Where do you put the smoke detector? I've got ceilings that are...
I know.
How do you get it up there?
Yeah.
I can't do that.
So if you clutter your mind up too much,
when
you're busy as someone like Dave is, and you clutter your mind up too much with little frivolous stuff like this,
I know
the burnout rate is way higher.
Yeah,
you just fry. You fry.
You're like a punchless guy.
Yes.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Third guy.
You'll fry your mind.
I knew that was coming.
Burn out.
Yep.
It's not. It's beyond that because. Like, the third guy's going to be right, round and right with Mike and I. It's not... These things here, if I just stopped and did all these other things, what really matters would never get done.
Well, I hear... This is what bothers me, is we have an insurance company coming in saying you have to... These suggestions we have to get done. But then when you go and you hire someone, they got to have a liability, and they have to have licenses, and, you know... So now that costs big bucks. If you had a handyman that was running around and said, now if he works for the town, he doesn't necessarily have to have a license to put a railing up. But if you hire someone, you've got to have a contractor with a license.
Right.
You know, I know guys that will put that railing up and they'll be happy to do it for $20 an hour because they're looking for work, but they don't have a license. And you can't hire those guys. Just like we were talking about the lawn mowing. You got to have a guy with liability insurance and all that. You can't hire a guy in town that will be happy to mow it for less money. And it's getting to the point where our hands are tied on every single thing we move. And John just said it. It's the world we live in. The insurance companies and the lawyers are killing us.
The school used when they need to have like smoke alarms and stuff like that put in.
Is it still McLean?
I don't know.
It was McLean. Yeah.
Maybe it'd be worth having him... put in a bid for it and just have him take care of it, you know.
Well, he's just an electrician, so you got smoke alarms, and you got the outlets, but now you gotta have your railings and your eyewash. I'm not saying don't do it. I'm just saying it is. I feel your pain in business. Insurance companies come in, OSHA comes in, the state comes in, and they all have different ideas. They literally will make you. Get rid of a coffee pot if it doesn't.
Well, they gotta justify their jobs.
Yeah,
sure.
I think the thing is,
right, and that's exactly what it is. They're not in there because they care about your safety. They're in there to justify their job. That's I truly believe that's most of their reason. And I'm not saying don't do it, but I agree with Nancy. We should do. You know, get the eyewash. I have no problem with that. Get it. You know,
what are the emergency lights? They just need batteries, I think he said?
Yeah, but you probably can't get the battery. You can hurry and try to replace the whole thing. It's old.
It'd be easier, yes. Yep.
The reality of it is that I'm going to go to work tomorrow, and I'm going to forget about all this stuff because it's like I'm going to get bogged down in the head.
I know.
I mean, it's so hard to keep things going nowadays. Like, if I break a bolt, and it's bigger than, you know...
Right, so... 2-inch bolt.
Yeah. Or it's a 3/4 inch.
You can't
bolt.
Get it in the town.
No, I gotta go to Pittsburgh. No. Like, I waste half a day going to get one bolt to keep something running.
Right. You gotta go to Fastenal.
It's, yeah.
And they don't have it, and then they say, well, we can get it tomorrow morning.
Exactly.
If that's the case, cover me.
There's all these things.
I'll get it
last
faster.
Last week I'm going down the road and our Ram just died. I'm like, yeah. It seems like it ran out of fuel. So I tow it back to the garage and spent, you know, a day figuring out what was wrong with that. I mean, there's all, it's just...
Yep.
I prioritize weekly but daily. You know, it's all of a sudden something comes up. And you just have to get through it. I have to have the truck running to do the rest of it. So.
Right.
We understand, Dave.
Yeah, it always goes smoother in your head, right? And then you try to go do it, and you don't expect someone to throw the wrench in the gear.
That's what keeps me in business, is there's no hard work.
There's always a wrench.
I make parts because they can't buy it. Oh, I ordered this and it's coming out of China and it's going to take 6 months. And it's $400. And I'm like, yeah, I can make that. And it's $1,200. Make it. Because I can't wait. You know? And that's where we're at right now. They just closed the hardware store in North Adams. Closed it. Oh, I'm Sean Seek. Now you got to drive a little farther, right?
Yeah, you go to Duke's and stand at the light there.
Mm-hmm. It's awful. It's always.
And you pay for a half inch bowl. A half inch bowl, you're paying $7 for a half inch bowl. I could buy the whole box for that. You know? But that's what they got you for.
Some of the smaller stuff we have an assortment that I try to keep handy because running down the street forever, you're not involved in it all the time. It's not practical.
Well, think about it. See which one you can work on.
I'll look it over again. Yeah. I thought the eyewash seemed like we were trying.
That's something,
that
something you should have use. Something.
Yeah. We do, but it's not good enough for what they say. I've got two bottles, they're mounted on the wall, and if you got something in your eye, you could wash. You do have something, but that's not good enough for their liking. So it's like everything else. It's okay, but they suggest something better.
Right.
Or get the emergency lights, but I think they've got to be hooked up to it. Electricians gotta hook them up.
Then. Yeah, there's something telling me. Trying to tell you.
Yeah, it comes on and says exit. I know where the exit is. This isn't, you know, people aren't in there that don't know how to get out of the building. Yeah. This is how my mind works. Is that a priority? No, not at all.
No.
John Bolt's got a structure up there. He's supposed to have the structure. He's like the only guy. He's like, who's going to carry me out on the structure?
Exactly. Yeah. Laid down and wait for someone.
Yeah. But he's got to have it.
It's not that I'm trying to ignore it, but I know that I just can't, because then the road's going to wash away. Next time I thunderstorm, the road's going to wash away. Mm-hmm. And you're like, well, how are you working on that light?
Mm-hmm.
Aren't you the highway department? It's just, there's no end. I mean, the roof needs to be fixed. The doors need to be fixed.
Right. Did you get a quote on the doors yet?
He didn't get any one.
Okay.
Could you use... I'm more concerned with.
Yep.
Use the HARPA money for the electrical fixes and stuff like that, or no? The lights? The outlets?
I think we could put that all in one big ball of maintenance, couldn't we?
Yeah.
That's what I would do. I mean, I wouldn't just say it's for this light. It's for
maintenance.
You know, $40,000 of the maintenance.
Yeah.
Did you get any quotes on the roof or anything on that? Or?
No, I can't. I just didn't.
That's going
to be that was good. Another thing. We're trying to get some clarification on this grant that we're hopefully going to put in for, because we've got the audit. So they come do the energy audit and then tell us what their findings are. And we fill out a paper which doesn't even exist at this point. So we're not behind anything.
We're on the list, right?
So
it's for the inspection.
I thought once they did the assessment, then we could implement what they said. Like, I thought money followed this. So what she said was, well, we're hoping that there's no money out there yet. So this assessment is basically just going to be informational, and then maybe next year or the year after you can apply on a competitive level for grants that you may or may not get.
Have they come down to do the assessment yet?
Well, they're scheduling it.
Right, right. That's the last I remember you saying.
They're scheduling it, so.
Which has been going on for I don't know how long.
We have dates to actually pay.
Okay.
This is the problem I have with everything, is you can't get anybody to do their job anymore. Everything is just, like the sweeper this year. Call the sweeper. We signed his contract. Where is he? He was supposed to be here in April, May. Not using him again.
Yep.
I think we're going to be fine without doing it, but I called them numerous times, called the cell phone. They're still in business.
By the time you're done, it's because of snow.
Yep.
Why bother at this point?
Right.
Hard to find a good problem.
So, and who else does it? There really isn't. We've had both of them, and I've had issues with both of them, both companies. That's why I went to this other one, because the other guy didn't ever show up either. The town of Stamford is not anybody's priority.
No.
We're not, we don't buy big.
Does the Petzillo and Tractor have one you can rent?
We may be able to do something with the loader, where we can get a sleeper, a three-throw has one that's on the front of their loader.
It's attached.
But it's a day a year. I mean, it's kind of
yeah.
You know, how much do you spend on something like that? You usually don't rent something.
Then you've got to have the protection
yeah,
too.
Yeah, maybe go in a halfsies
breathers and all that.
How nearby or something?
Like, so we're small. If we don't want,
that's a good suggestion though. Could you? Would reasonable? Would it fit on our tractor or no?
I don't know.
Yeah, you know, or
it,
could
it
we,
goes on their loader?
Could we borrow their loader for one day? When it breaks, we'll have to. But it might be an idea to hire them out. No, we don't even borrow it. Have their man come and do it for us for one day. We pay them.
We can ask.
It wouldn't hurt.
You can ask, get it for next year, because if you said if we don't need it this year.
We can ask.
Most of the roads are clean now. And
some of that, the sweeping was something that I think years ago when you used more sand on the blacktop, it was really something that needed to be done, and now it's kind of a hit and miss thing. It's nice because it keeps, the grass starts to creep out on the blacktop, and the sweeper kind of keeps, you know, the road as wide as it should be. And it does pick up some debris, but, you know, you get a thunderstorm or two, and you can't tell if we swept or not. You got dirt back on the road, so.
You guys don't have time to go out with the hand?
If that's what you want me to do, I'll do anything you guys want me to do. But I just know the reality of it is, I know what's a priority and what isn't, and I never seem to get everything I needed done. Which, for the most part, works. We get by. But if you stop to do these other things, it's not going to work.
Okay. What else on roads? Lori put in our box the culvert on Sportsman's Road, a diagram.
Yeah, oh, that's right.
The conceptual design.
So, kind of what I was saying about that project, it's not quite as simple as it's just going up there and throwing a bigger pipe in.
Have you talked to Elfenwald at all?
Well, they came down here.
I'm on that board. Do you want me to pass?
Okay. Well, if you want to take one of them.
Intermittent.
I just got this today. So.
Okay, because I can just talk to Mike Cole about it.
Yeah.
So that I can pay it off.
So you can.
Way down there. You get the actual hydrological study
and the hydraulic study. Seems like it's like there's two different hands in the state. This one's doing this. This one's doing this. So the hydraulic study addresses the culvert that's there, and then the stream alteration guy who gives you the permit to do the project does this. It says, oh, this is.
And they don't.
The alteration almost looks like they're putting it back where the original stream was.
That's exactly what they want.
Just bent it down the road here. They probably, because it's one culvert instead of two.
Well,
when they did it like that.
Yeah, that's why they did it like that. Years ago, they wanted to cheapen it up. So, So, well, basically, in talking to stream alteration specialist or whatever you want to be, he is, because of the grade's not very steep, they're always going to have sediment bagging up. So even if you put a bigger culvert in, you're going to have the same issue. It's going to plug that culvert and run over the road. They suggested raising the road a foot to be able to get in a bigger culvert in that area. We'd have to raise the road a foot just to put in something bigger. And you can read this other hydraulic study on it. And, you know.
Massive speed bump.
Yeah.
It's...
Yeah. Is that
unfortunately, this, like John said, this is the world we live in now, where I don't just think go out and fix the problem. Everybody else has control.
It would take you 2 years to get all the approvals.
Yeah.
So I mean, the Army Corps of Engineers, Act 250, then you got to go to the landowners, Applewall and some of this. So you got, I mean, that's unbelievable.
So they're going to move the culvert down on Suzanne Drive. This is what it looks like, right? Is that what they want to do?
Yeah,
okay.
So it'd be two culverts. So
it'd be two and a half.
Yeah, oh, up there and down, yeah, right, right.
A bunch of work in the woods.
But what about that little stream that comes down almost across from Suzanne Drive that was running? I was running not too much, but when it rains, I'm sure it's going to come right down into the old, probably the old culvert, unless they take that one up. Because there's still one coming down from the woods.
Were they going to leave that culvert?
Yeah, you leave the one that's there. It's not fail. Just when we get a,
It's to get, it's to put extra water somewhere.
Can't
hold the capacity.
If you put a bigger culvert in there, so instead of having a floodplain, it's basically what we have now with that culvert. Mm-hmm. It makes the road and the surrounding area floodplain, so it disperses the energy. So once you send it all through the culvert, what do you think it's going to do to where it's coming out? I mean, is it going to gut right down by that guy's garage? Mm-hmm. Like, you think you're fixing the problem, but you're not. And that's why they come up with this other plan.
Well, you get a drop. On the other side of any culvert, you get a drop.
Yeah.
So.
Yep.
But now you're putting all the water instead of just fanning it out.
Yeah.
So it's it's going to channelize even more.
So we'd be the new floodplain area.
Yeah, well, that's what would end up happening. You'd end up, it'd probably come down through and go right through your house after, because now you're sending all of it instead
it's
of
all
dispersed.
Agreed. Yeah,
yeah. Mm-hmm. Which is why we have floodplain and why they try not to let you go. They want to not have that issue. You fix your problem.
You just move it down the road.
Yeah, hey, when I come in and call your trees down.
Really?
I thought we were supposed to fill it up.
Okay. Anything else then, Dave?
I don't think so.
Lord, can I get a copy of that?
Recycling.
So we closed the recycling center because we had no power yesterday.
Right. Yeah. And I didn't notice any bags up there last night. Nobody threw them over or came up there, so that was good.
Yeah, I don't think anybody went in there.
Good.
I did have a call from somebody from the state. I don't know if we took air conditioners. And air conditioners are still on our list, I think.
They emailed me and I emailed them back a sheet with all of our fees, and we do take air conditioners.
But we took it off the list.
It's still on there.
I thought we wanted to.
Because it's got the Freon.
Refrigerated.
Yeah. And they were.
I thought we were going to, all that stuff was going to go.
Down to that. We
the,
said take them down to North Adams or
waste collection.
Save them for that guy with the refrigerator.
Somebody tried to bring it to that and they won't take it.
To North Adams?
No, to
Yeah, somebody has to like manually remove that Freon out of there. You can't just throw it out.
Right.
There used to be a guy in Clarksburg that would always
supposed to tag them.
I don't think
that old Freon is now worth about $5,000 a pound.
Really?
Yeah.
There's whole businesses where people go around and just drain the refrigerant.
So somebody called because they wanted to get rid of their air conditioner?
Mm-hmm.
And what did we tell them?
I didn't speak to the person. It was the SWIP people who received the call.
So what do we
do?
Well, this is the easiest thing. Do you want it still on a list?
Well,
Sounds like we don't. Why don't we just take it off?
We probably should.
Take it off.
Yeah.
Yeah. What's,
I think if you
from this moment on, we're just going to take it off. Somebody yeah.
Drain the stuff nice out, which is probably going to cost you money.
Do we take refrigerators? Do we take refrigerators? Do we take those anymore, do
we? We had this discussion a while
ago. You did take refrigerators.
I don't remember the result.
Up to last year.
I don't really.
Did we storm for that guy?
Up in the air.
I would take them off the list, and then there's. Who's that? We had a new recycling place in Adams.
I know the guy that owns it. I know him real well.
I'm just referring to that.
I can't remember the name of it. I mentioned that at a meeting.
Because they take mattresses and take all that stuff.
Yeah, I can look into that if you want and ask if he takes those.
And the individual people bring them down? Could I bring my mattress down or my?
I'll ask him.
Or does it have to be a town or store?
So maybe when we redo our informational sheet for starting November 1st, we want to make some changes.
I mean, they don't just take them. He charges to take them, of course.
Right.
The same thing with the mattress. We never.
I think he's I want to take $40 for.
Yeah, I can get a price list of what he takes.
I want to take them to the town and then bring them to him. I would just refer stuff like that to, like, hey, if you got a refrigerator or air conditioner, call this guy, and you let them. If they want to get rid of it, let them pay it.
Yep.
Might be good on the informational sheet about what we take and don't take to have some links to all that we do take.
If we don't take it, yeah.
I think we did say that one time that was just in the selectmen minutes.
Yeah, I think North Adams takes pretty much everything, but they charge it, you know. It costs money to get rid of stuff.
But they wouldn't take it from Stanford.
I have a permit for North Adams. Yeah, I mean, I'll.
Contractor permit.
I mean, I bring up stuff from North Adams all the time. I have a dump trailer I fill right up and bring it up there. There's certain things that, like you said, if there's a refrigerator in there, you have to separate it.
Mm-hmm.
They charge you X amount of dollars for that, and then a demo and stuff like that goes into the trash. There's no difference. They charge by the pound. It's not cheap. You work over a scale, there's your money.
Anything else on recycling? Emergency management. I guess Bill gave Lori a couple bills that we have to pay for the fire truck now.
We got to the point where they delivered the cab and chassis, and that's $107,000 and some miscellaneous.
$107,670.
And at the same time, we're getting credit $4,429.03 for paying for that chassis now rather than when the engine's delivered. Because it saves them having to finance it.
So the 107 is with the credit, with the $4,000 credit.
The 107 has to be paid. The credit comes off of the $525,000 for the engine.
Okay.
So we get to $521,000.
Okay. So there's money. There's with the $50,000 that was appropriated this year, there'll be $232,000 in the fire department account. So we have no problem paying this $107,000 out of there.
Yep, that's where it's supposed to come from.
Yep.
Okay.
Yep.
And pay it, save $4,000.
Why we even keep that money? Why don't we give it right to the fire department? I mean, it's a warrant article.
Taxpayer money, I guess. I don't know.
It's a warrant article. I don't know why we keep track of it. I mean, you're a separate entity. You're not.
It's invested.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I guess, and so we're taking advantage of the best opportunity. Lori has it invested. I didn't make the decision.
I guess I want to say it was always done that way.
But it's good to keep an eye on it too. We can see what's going on. It's good for the taxpayers.
It's accumulated. It's almost like it's a replacement fund.
Yeah.
So except that we've already authorized disbursement of it. And then we have the numbers that are coming up to consider. Because with the money that will come in 26 and 27, that's how far we had authorized at town meeting at 50,000 a year from 23 to 27 is going to leave 141,000
on
still
shot. Good,
yeah, unaccounted for. Okay. So if we get to the point where we ask to continue that replacement fund at 50,000 a year, it'll cover the interest on what's borrowed and all in an additional 3 years, so it'll be 28, 29, 30, and it's done.
Okay, I was gonna say, you don't think we should borrow the money now and pay the interest?
Oh, we are going to have to borrow that money
before the 27 comes up.
At the end of this year.
Okay.
Yeah.
Because interest rates are still going up, that's all I'm saying. Maybe.
At the end of this year, we're going to have to borrow the money. The first payment for it will be in 25.
Okay.
Bill, we may have to reword that article because in 2022 town meeting, we said the town will raise and appropriate $50,000 annually for a 5-year period beginning in 2022.
23.
22. So 22, 23, 24, 25, 26. We can only go out 5 years. So
we can do that next year.
In 26 we'll have to reword the article or put another article on to continue the, because the last payment will not be in the 27.
Can we just do it next year and amend this article?
Amend?
Add to the end of it?
Oh, write a new article.
Write a new article.
Yeah.
The reason we kept this was 5 years is a commitment maximum without considering bonding.
Right.
So when we run out of the 5 years, we can look for permission for a 3-year.
Okay. Either way, it doesn't.
We used to.
We
do
gotta
it
get
like,
there. We already bought the truck. We gotta get there. So.
Yeah. Well, I think this. They right. used to do it. Every year, put this article on the town meeting. Say this is the first of 12 payments, and the next year was the second of 12 payments, and that way people understood that we are getting to the end of this payment here, without saying 5 years. We should vote on it every year. That's what we kind of learned, I think.
I feel like the auditors felt like if you're like on a 12-year plan and you're on year 7 and the voters vote it down, now what? If you don't want it to be an article, you need to have it in your budget.
To go to that end of that number.
End of the 5-year. Okay.
That's why we really need an article for 3 years.
If we come up soon, to overlap it almost.
Because either way around, we need the money by the end of 24.
I think somewhere though they said we can't commit money, but we do have a contract. Oh, so if we didn't have a contract, maybe we can't commit money for, I want to raise $50,000.
Just in case.
Just in case.
Right.
But
we might want to buy something
right.
that we can't do it. We have a number.
We can't commit future town people to something that we said might happen.
Right.
But we know this.
Forward. Paul negotiated the purchase of 2 new ambulances for Northern Berkshire Medical. And found that the best he did was with Adams Co-op. They gave a very favorable rate. He's willing to approach them for a similar rate for a loan for us, unless you or Laurie would rather do that yourselves.
If he can help us, I think that'd be good.
Yeah.
I mean, he has the people and he knows that now that we're within, at the beginning of the year, we couldn't ask them for something when we didn't. They could only commit 6 months forward. Now we know we're within the 6 month range, so they can give us a firm commitment.
So when do we expect to have this fire truck?
It's not a promise, but the likelihood is November.
Ooh, nice.
So this November?
Yeah, this November. The difficulty of it is you don't want to take your brand new shiny fire truck and bring it out in the snow and the sleet and the mud.
So well, you gotta use it.
Well, you gotta. It may, depending on where we are with engine two, the white one, which will go once it arrives, it may be, we may park engine two on the outside, take its space and put the brand new
while you're training for the
in the back corner. Also have it for training as people get used to a new system.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And hopefully not put it out in the nasty stuff if you can avoid it, but it's there to do the job.
So one little note, I have a customer that buys chassis, a lot of chassis by the thousands, and they buy Ford chassis. I'm going to say it was 2022, they were paying about $36,000 to $38,000 for a chassis, and now they're paying $84,000 for a chassis. So that's where the numbers have gone. So Paul actually mentioned to me and Glenn, it was really a great idea for us to jump on this because we would be paying almost.
When they get, yes.
Yeah, at least 50% more. You know, that's where it is. You know.
So we'll have to see where we are. Once it's here, we're going to start looking to go to Mack truck collectors with a promise that we could probably release it in the fall or early spring, the one that we originally bought from California. And if we can get $5,000 or $6,000 back out of it, it'll go to the equipment that we still will need, new equipment. We've budgeted about $10,000 for the small stuff that you've got to put on your engine. Mm-hmm. All right, then I will ask Paul to go ahead.
Thank you. So will I cut the check and just call you when it's ready? Am I just going to mail it in? Or
mail it to him. They'll be looking for it.
Yeah.
If there's more questions about it, if I
do
don't
like
have an answer, I'll be happy to try and get it.
Larry, you could do like FEMA and ask them for more questions. But now, what was it again? What size tires are those?
Yeah, they measure everything on the tires.
The biggest thing they want to save for tradition is the big electric siren. The dynamic one with a motor that winds up and winds down.
Oh,
apparently they're like $7,000 or $8,000 to buy new if you can find it. So that'll go on the new entry.
Okay, anything else, Phil? No?
All that I've got.
Okay. DB Fiber Financial Assistance Review Policies. It was mentioned at a previous meeting that we should have a policy, but I think we kind of decided that we were going to give $500 per application.
Up to.
So Lori and I worked on the application, and if that's, should we put that on the application? Select Board approves up to $500 per application. Per household. And then it says, I am requesting funding for the following project: installation of DV fiber at home address.
Sure.
And then application should be submitted with a self-certification form to the select board in a sealed envelope. Applications will be considered as received and reviewed privately. I think those are the questions we had, Lori, and Bob never got back to us on it, so I guess it's okay with him. So you have the final form if you want to.
So I can finalize it.
Finalize it, get it ready for anybody that wants it.
And I'm still trying to get them to identify the five households that they claim are awaiting installation, because they have some kind of installation problem.
Okay.
But with all their privacy.
Yes.
Routine. Bob and I both took a course and signed off for a certificate that we would be hold everything private and confidential. They still haven't given us the fire containment.
Okay. Delinquent dog update.
So, Luke's tickets have really worked. We're down to 10 people and 15 dogs.
Wow. Are the 10 people the regulars, or are they following up on?
Well, they just paid a couple weeks ago for last year.
Yeah. Pretty soon it's going to be time.
A couple regulars.
10 is good.
How's it do already?
It amazes me. This one doesn't.
I think we should publish it like, you know, delinquent taxes.
Yeah. I mean, that's what I'm saying. This is
shaming.
This,
or just to remind people if they forgot, or they're not paying attention, or they get Luke's bill.
This is worse than the taxes, because it's pennies.
We weren't at like 10 or 15 until just like
November.
March.
Yeah, following March. So what's this next step? Are these people coming in or called you or anything? Or
they have been coming in.
These 10 people or?
Well, those 10 people we haven't heard anything from. I guess I'd have to look at our ordinance if the next step might be the court system.
Yeah, I would have Luke proceed with the next step then.
What's it, $10, something like that? Close enough.
For it's $9 if it's $100, and yeah. $13 if it's...
I mean...
If you get those,
amazing. If you do it by April 1st.
I can't believe this.
And then it's a $2 and $4 penalty.
See, some of these people have kids. How much is Why don't they get the rabies shots for these animals,
if it's
right?
Fixed and $4 if it's
so they won't pay the $9, but when you get the $2 penalty, that makes them pay.
No,
I get that reminder.
Didn't we charge them more for
well,
this?
Well, these guys we're doing $50
mm-hmm.
penalty.
Oh, mm-hmm. Okay.
So these guys, some of them are crappy.
When your dog fine goes over your taxes, then.
Lisa, you had a question?
Yeah, I'm sorry, this is not the right time, but back to the emergency management. Bill's still here in case he leaves. Like, what are we doing about, I don't know if this is the right board to talk to, but the heat, like, I heard like a lot of people are using the bathroom outside of Bill Mott's, the porta potty and stuff. Like, who's taking care of, like, when we have, are we going to ever have that discussion about what happens during heat or storms when the power goes out?
I'm sorry, who's taking care of?
Like emergency shelter?
Is that, yeah, like, that kind of thing.
Cooling centers.
Well, we don't have
a
cooling center.
What happens if, because we have a generator, but like a lot of people don't, what happens when you can't use your bathroom or whatnot? I feel like if they're going to Billmont's and the porta potty, I feel like we have a problem in town that we need to look into.
I think it's the same that we dealt with before, that somebody's got to be here to man the building.
Right.
And open the building. Is it nighttime? Who's staying overnight? And
I know, I just thought I'd bring it up because, you know, with extreme heat, it's not as bad as the cold, but kind of can be.
I thought of that too.
The kind of thing you get responsibility for is one, who's going to open, you know, we can find somebody to open the building. Who's going to stay? And actually, if you open the building and you follow the routine that we're supposed to, you're supposed to take information and log who came in and also who left, so that you don't wind up with some kid in a corner somewhere after you relock the building, like leaving them in the back corner of a school bus. And somebody's got to do that.
Become their caretaker.
I thought Bob was working on something like that.
There is. Yeah, it's a civilian emergency response team.
Is that under the emergency management people?
Yeah, that's his.
Right, so are you.
It's non-first responders helping in an emergency situation.
Right.
And so, you know, 15, 20 years ago, we wound up with getting, you know, some assistance from Red Cross when Red Cross was still a lot more active in Bennington County, which they're not now. We have some guidelines. We need people. The five or six people that we gathered up at the time, there were probably three left in town, including Nancy, Joan, and me. Some have passed away, some have moved out of town. Those people that want are, you know, anxious, terribly anxious to get involved in, you know, civic authority, you know, civic assistance, be happy to try and get them trained.
What kind of training would it involve? I feel like we have enough people in town that care that, you know.
Well, not only that, but it isn't enough to say I care.
Yeah.
You're willing to learn what you're supposed to be doing. Those forms that ought to be filled out, you're going to take the responsibility that if there's a storm, and even if your house is flooded, you're going to come here and help other people.
There was some discussion from Bob Briggs about instigating just or encouraging people taking it upon themselves to find, I mean, it's sort of like when we had those neighborhood, you know, team, like, information people, but to, you know, for each person to take sort of the responsibility to reach out to, you know, the neighbors that they know and say, you know, okay, Doug, come to my house if you need to jump in the swimming pool. Or my stove has gas, and so if there's no, you know, if there's no electricity and you don't want peanut butter and jelly for dinner, come to my house and we'll make hot dogs. To find each other, to, you know, encourage versions of finding each other. And it's not comprehensive by any means, but it's doable.
Maybe even back to the captains then or whatever.
Yeah, neighborhood captains or, you know, seeing, I mean, especially for people who have, you know, if they're on any kind of life support thing that's going to depend on, then they need to either have a generator or know someone with a generator, you know.
Because I know my neighbors and I, we all say, okay, I have a stove.
Right.
My neighbor has a better generator than us. And but she doesn't have a stove that works on that generator, and we trade around.
Exactly. So like my neighbor was like, I have a generator. Do you have anything that's going to go bad in your fridge? Because I don't have a generator. Bring it up. So, you know, that kind of...
I mean, could we get something like that?
I think at one time there was probably a greater sense of that in town.
Yeah, but let's start it up again. Let's start the conversation.
I checked with my neighbors that I knew. I called one Pat. Mm-hmm. I'm fine.
Yeah, well, she tells me that every time there's a problem. We're fine.
They're
in their 80s and they are always fine.
Yep.
Right.
And but they know
they literally sat in front of their gas stove when they lost power in the winter, opened the oven, and that's where they stayed.
Yep.
They kept warm by that. And I said, I got wood. Come on up. I got a generator. Everything's the same as when we had power up my house.
Yep.
We're good, but thank you for asking.
Yep. Yeah. And another lady, I said, I've got the water. You want a shower?
Right.
Nope. I'm not opening my refrigerator, freezer.
Yep.
I have a gas stove. I'm fine. I need my water for my.
You know, the sense of self-reliance.
That's what it is.
Is beautiful and strong, and it seems like encouraging some version of those conversations.
So that's where I don't want to lack compassion. But. What constitutes an emergency? Because they have to go to the bathroom? That's what I'm saying is I'm trying to be gentle here, but if I have to go to the bathroom, I've been camping before.
Yeah. But not everybody lives in the woods.
Well, but this is Stamford, Vermont, not New York City, so I'm wondering why people, where does it end? Because I do, and again, I'm not trying. I know there's elderly people, and I do agree with the neighborhood helping each other. That's community, And I would have no problem helping people. But I don't have the time to go to all the training. I mean, I used to be a fireman. I know what it takes to be a train, to train just to, that was, what, 30 years ago, and it's double that now. So I understand all that. But where does it end? We had one time where people wanted to come here because they were felt alone. So they just want to come and talk, but there's no emergency. And that's where that volunteer system gets broke down when they go, geez, I know a guy that does a soup kitchen right now. He does it's a Meals on Wheels, and he loves to do it. And it started with 40 people, now they're up to 100 and something households in North Adams. But after he gives the free meal, he sees the same person down at Cumberland Farms buying a pack of cigarettes, and it bothers him. He keeps doing it, but it bothers him. Where does it end? So, and I'm not saying we shouldn't have some other place, but I really agree that if we could take it amongst ourselves, not just in this room, but pass the word along. Marta and I and Dan Poffin and Kurt have talked about this, I don't know, informational thing this fall or maybe next fall, whenever we can do it. They already have in the school like a craft thing. Have a booth that says, this is what we suggest. Here's some pamphlets that you can go to North Adams Shelter, which is open, or you can, these are things where you can buy a generator and it's inexpensive, and how to use a generator, you know.
We can find ourselves a community room somewhere that could go along with helping with some of this.
Yeah, stuff. I mean, it's a big project to take on.
Who is through the neighborhood captain thing? What about something like that, like a phone tree?
I don't know how it ever worked.
Some
worked and some did.
Yeah.
Ours did. Like, right. Mary Lou did was ours and they worked.
Right.
Like, so
it's all about the person. It's like Bill says, when you have good volunteers, you're going to have a good system.
Exactly. But even just having something like at this resiliency fair that we're talking about, even having something that's like a checklist for people to think about, you know, in the event of a power outage, what would be the things that you, for them to think for themselves.
Right.
And then to just be like, do you have a resource that you can reach out to? And similarly, you know, what resources do you have that you would be able to share with, you know, a limited number so that you're not taking everybody in, you know, that you could offer to some of your
neighbors. Close neighbors.
So, you know, and just write it in people's minds.
All the stuff.
Because even on Facebook with this last thing, there were people beautifully, it was very heartening, saying, you know, is anybody having trouble in this storm? Does anybody need help? Which I was like,
all this stuff around resiliency and emergency management is, they're all great conversations. I just don't know how to coalesce it all, right? How do we all get together and start talking about this stuff?
Well, that's why each person kind of has to be responsible.
Some of the best format to organize it all.
What their emergency plan is.
The less you do through the town, the less formal training you need.
Right. Yes.
And the better you can get things done.
Yeah.
It's just like, go all the way back to what John said, this is the world we live in. The minute you become a formal entity, insurance, liability, all this kind of red tape gets in the way sometimes, you know.
Informally, every emergency, every house turns into a primitive camp for 60 days to figure it out.
You know, I hooked up 3 generators yesterday, so I only needed one for myself. That were my family members, but apparently I'm the guy that knows
you're the
how
one.
To do it. So.
Oh, cool. Now
but I have 5 generators, so I had 2 extra ones. You know?
Like Bill said, too, if we open the school, you have to go through certain protocol, the state, local Red Cross, and...
Now, Bob did put...
Become the caretaker to everyone that's there.
Bob did put on Facebook, if there's anybody that is really and truly need anything, call 911.
Yeah.
You know, and then he said, call him if you need anything. Call Bob, and he will guide you or get you help.
Yeah, Bob does much better with social media than I ever did.
Sure,
I don't have a Facebook account. Mm-hmm. I'm not comfortable trying to use it. Mm-hmm. We tried for years to repeat and repeat at town meeting and minutes for people to reach out if they need. But
did anybody ever fill out those forms that you had? What are your needs? Bring them back to, did they go to the fire department or town office? Or, I don't think they came here. I think they probably went to the fire department. What are your needs? Are you on oxygen? Do you need...
At one point, well, you know how far back it goes?
Yeah.
It was a card attached or inserted to the town report, and Yankee Atomic paid for it.
Yeah.
And we got probably about 15 from the whole town. People don't want to admit that they need help. They don't want to identify a medical condition that needs assistance.
Yeah. Well, that's on them then.
Well, that's why you train everyone to do the best they can for themselves, rather than just trying to be the.
I mean, there's a checkoff list, rather than, you know, a booklet that the state publishes.
Oh.
We can get copies of them and hand them out.
Yeah.
We have handed them out at town meeting in past
years.
What's
happened at the fair?
That's that little flip page booklet.
Yep.
Yeah. Okay. Done with delinquent dogs. Correspondence.
So, I received a letter from the IRS this week. I'm happy to report that at least we have resolved the filing for the fourth quarter of December 2023. They are happy. The third quarter is up in the air, and the first two quarters I have sent in a letter disputing their findings and asked them to review the information. And
I don't know if John and Doug are familiar with what happened or.
So the IRS loves us.
I say the thing that happens to me every year. You file your taxes, and they're like, "Oh, hey, we found out you owe more money, and you got to pay. They want you to pay more money."
We pay payroll every 2 weeks, so we automatically would submit the withheld taxes to the IRS every 2 weeks, and then at some point they said, "Look, you withhold less than $50,000 of taxes in a year. You should be paying them monthly, not every 2 weeks." So I got this letter saying you need to change how you pay. Okay, recreate the wheel. We started paying them monthly. And then, you know, 5 months later, they sent us a terrific bill and said, "Hey, you didn't do it quarterly like you have been."
Oh my God.
They charged us like $1,800 in penalty interest for not filing it every 2 weeks when they told me to file it monthly. And I disputed it, and they looked at it and said, "Sorry, Charlie, you owe it." And then when the second quarter and June 30th came through, they hit us again with another $1,200.
Really?
Maybe it's time to write our representatives or our senators.
You know, we were in between with Laura Sevilla leaving and then the new guy being sick and not really, but
No, but I mean you call, what's our representative, and I'm talking congressional, because if it's with the IRS.
Well, we fought it and, you know, hopefully this will work. If not, we'll continue on the chain.
You finally got to talk to somebody, right?
You know, they guided me through, fill out a Schedule B, and fill it out this way, and maybe this will help them to recognize that. I mean, I would have never changed how I did it if they didn't write me a letter saying you have to do it monthly. So, and they have not even reversed that letter, but I've gone back to filing it every 2 weeks like I always have, and...
But the thing is, they have the money every 2 weeks instead of monthly. You think they would be happy?
Right.
That they're sending it in on time. And
so it's just been a difficult
But
process.
It's good that we're not going to be fined for the third quarter, or fourth quarter.
Yeah, the first two we've already been fined, and I'm trying to get our money back. The third quarter, they haven't made a decision on yet.
You should send them a letter saying that you think you overpaid $1,800 and see if they send you that back.
$3,600.
She'd got it written down. Yeah. It wasn't a fluffy letter either.
Oh, yeah. Not quite right. Yeah.
It wasn't fluffy.
I've been doing it for 13 years. We've never had a problem until they changed the system. And then they didn't change the system in their computer. So
That's what it was.
And it's not unusual, too. You call one person, they tell you one thing, and you call another one, and you get something completely. The right hand does not know what the left hand is doing.
Yeah, I had that, too. Yeah.
We've had that.
So.
Good. Keep on them, Lori.
So,
Any other correspondence?
No, just some reminders.
Old business.
Well, I guess I can mention this on our old business. The state trooper's been in town. Three days in a row, actually. It was on social media that he was here one day, and they said about time, but he's been in town. He was at least 3 days. I met him. I wish I could remember his name right this second, but didn't write it down. Kyle, I think his name was.
I've seen him twice.
He lives up in Reedsboro.
He the gentleman trying to find the owner of the purple bike?
He was. I had my first question is, so you stopped a guy, he's admitted to you he stole the bike, and you didn't ask him where it was came from.
What?
Because because the trooper was looking for the owner, so he was driving around asking anybody knows who this bike is, and I'm like, why didn't you ask the guy? I don't want to bad mouth it. He's a good guy. But I mentioned while I had his attention, I asked him to try to do more patrols down here. He did mention the same old story. There's 7 or 8 of them, and they have, they go from Manchester to Stanford, so they got a huge, and they only work, it's not like all 8 guys work at the same time. They have shifts. So you have like 3 guys on duty.
That means there's still 6 or 7 understaff.
Right. So it's just, this is the world.
It's too bad he just couldn't.
He was just a cruiser.
When he goes out, take a drive down and back up and or around these roads.
He does. And he has been. I don't know if anybody's seen him.
I've seen him a couple times.
He was on, someone mentioned about weekends. One of the nights was Saturday night.
That's what I said.
So you can't get no better than Saturday night. And he stayed all the way the whole night back and forth.
Right,
he was
downtown
in the morning. Yeah. So you will hear down the road, someone's going to say, why are state troopers in here? I just got stopped and I got in trouble. That's too bad. But I'm just saying, at least there's he's closer now. He might be able to do a little bit more. Even if, like you said, even if he drives through once in a while and comes down, turns around,
just
goes back up.
Makes a presence, yeah.
That presence. He's a very nice guy, very approachable.
Eat your sandwich in the church parking lot or whatever.
Yep.
Sometimes it's just the presence of being there.
And I will get his name again. I'm sorry, I had it in my head and I forgot when I came in and I can't remember his name now. I think it's Stevens, Officer Stevens. I'm pretty sure that's who it is now. I just want to let you know that he was in town and go from there.
Okay, I'd just like to remind the board that we're doing a site inspection on Thursday, August 1st at 4:45, which will begin at the Stanford School, and we're going up to the intersection of trail number 301. No. Is it? Yes, that's where we're starting, 301.
302.
So I have some signs proposals. I don't know if that's under old or new or whatever.
Nice.
I have a couple different sizes. This is just to get you an idea of what a 3x4 square or 12 square sign looks like.
Nice.
This is 12 square.
Not too bad.
3x4.
That's perfect.
That's great.
That's 3x4.
That's beautiful.
And then this one's a little different, it's a little smaller. Different format, but this is what a 12 square sign is.
Could we do both sides so it's...
Yeah, so this would be one side.
I really like the town office up top of the school.
Whoever you want. This is just... All right, so... Want to look at the other one?
Yeah.
All right, let's look at the other one.
See the other one. That looks nice.
That's nice. That looks font.
So this is like 30 by 54, I think, but it's like 11... So this is like a little under 12 square. It's like 11 and a quarter or something like that.
I like this one.
It seems like it jumps out a little bit more.
Yeah.
Well, I'm assuming we're doing a two-sided sign. And so.
That one's too big.
Not too big. It's within the
bylaw. This is within the zoning.
It's within the zoning
law.
I would take the and off. Take the and off. Stanford School, town office, library.
Yeah, I don't know if you want public library, town library, just library.
Just library.
Which one do you like?
Just library.
Which one do you like?
I like the latter one.
We'll go with that one.
This one.
Which
for the I like the smaller one. Because it was very visible.
This is a smaller one.
Okay.
Not by much.
Are the letters bigger or the
The Sanford School font is bigger.
You want to see them side by side?
Yeah, here, I'll hold that side. You got that side, Kurt, and then maybe.
I like the ones with the lines in between. Sanford School, Town Office, Library.
Yeah, you don't even need public, just library. And it will be less.
That one's 3x4.
Yep.
They're basically the same.
And this one's 30x54 or something like that. But they're, this one's under 12 square. That one is 12 square.
I like the longer one better, but that's okay.
So that one fits in the bylaws.
They both do. Yes. However you guys want to sign, I'm assuming it so you can see it driving both ways.
Yep.
Yep.
The correct distance from the road.
Get rid of the
We'll make sure we put it where it's supposed to be.
Yeah, I think you can just
say. We can put town office on top. Really?
Can they all be the same size?
Can you put on the side the name of the slot? Oh, no,
we won't change it. Say, what about the school library?
Just library.
Just library.
Do you want the typo the same size for all of them, or do you want the school?
Gotta cover it up.
Yeah, I mean, this is just a general idea. You guys can, you could change it however you guys want.
I like what do you think? We're thinking about painting that hot pink, Sheila. Hot pink? Hot pink? For a color?
Oh, for a color?
Yeah, hot.
Yeah, maybe or... just take the public out and put library.
White and black or white with green.
I would know one color. I know one person that would like green and white. I don't.
Isn't that what the green
school,
and yellow?
Green and yellow are like the...
The school colors, right? The
bobcat. Nice colors. They look good together.
I do the bobcat color.
Yeah, they do look good together.
Believe it or not.
The old sign.
What do you want?
Kind of like
the old sign.
The Vermont colors too, I guess.
The old sign was gray with maroon.
Jed has a question. Who's going to pay for it?
So I've had several citizens in town that are willing to donate money.
Mm-hmm.
I'm willing to put money forward for it. If not, foot it.
Have you had a
quote? I will put some.
JB3 quoted me... like $700 to do a cedar sign, two sides.
Do we have money in the?
And then you would have to install it and whatever else, but.
Right.
I mean, I've already been told someone's like, I'll give you $250. So I don't think money's going to be an issue.
Okay.
So based on these two, which one did you like? The best.
What's the sign?
I like this one if we get rid of the and just say library.
I like the longer one a little bit better.
So is this the longer one?
I don't really care.
I don't really have it.
And I don't like the lines.
This one might be the longer one, right? This
one. I like the shorter one.
Can we have the font,
not
the font, the size letters the same?
Oh, yeah, you could probably do all in the same size, right? Instead of, I figured the same for school you want bigger because then, I mean, it makes the school.
All the same size, they will all be small. Stanford and
You probably have to all go to like this size or a size in between to get it all to fit in there.
I like it just the way it is.
Yeah, I think having it different sizes
jumps out a
makes it look like three different things.
Yeah.
Whereas if all the words are exactly the same size, it's going to blend together like a pair.
I like that.
School, town office, library.
Yep.
Library. Yeah, just no. Take the and sign out and the
shorter
public.
As it goes down.
Yep.
Yes.
Reverse pyramid.
Yes, you're right.
Yep. I like that.
I like the font.
So this one?
I thought we did that with the other one.
I think you're losing,
Sheila. I think you're outvoted.
Uh-oh.
Oh, no.
Well, Mike said he liked that one, too.
Well, we'll see what it looks like.
Should we hang them in here and let people think about it for a couple days, or what?
Oh boy! I just wonder if John, so he took time to look at the guidelines for visual safety when you're driving in a motor vehicle at 35 miles an hour.
What's that?
Guidelines for operating motor vehicle for safety.
Okay.
There are guidelines for how big a font has to be visible safely from the.
Dave, do you know that?
It is online. I don't have it.
Well, there is, but I don't. That's not a regulatory sign. It's just a
location sign. Yeah, it's not a road sign.
Okay.
It's going to be better than what we have now.
A little bit. So the next step then is we have to apply for a building permit.
Hey, talk to Deb. Say this is our submit that. So we're going to submit the final result. We'll submit. We'll tell her it's going to go within the distance of where we have to put it. And file a permit.
Yeah.
And she should be able to approve it right then and there if it's
right.
within everything.
Yes.
Yep. And done deal. It shouldn't even have to go to any boards.
Right.
Before we finalize the whole
thing. What about the location though?
Well, that's what I'm saying. We'll have to go within the location.
But you also have to consider the post it's going to be on.
Are they both three?
Posts can go behind, well, in the middle.
They're in
the so that was a question. That was a question I had
so
before I started. Was do the posts come into play with the size of the sign?
I don't know.
I would say no. I mean,
you're
talking the sign, you know.
Yeah.
I think
so
we have an argument.
No, right. So if you put, so we can put the post if it's a double sided sign. Maybe you can put the post in between the sign.
Right. So then it's just sticking out the bottom, and that's fine.
Yeah.
And if you put it on the building, you wouldn't consider the size of the building for the sign. So
just
it's the same
you
thing.
Do have to
okay.
Yeah. What's the speed limit? 30, isn't it? Coming through town, they shouldn't be going that fast anyway.
Not when it's not schooled out.
Yeah, I'm not worried about that. I'm not sure about the post. I don't know.
I don't know.
So,
that's a good question for our planning board that committee.
That's the ZBA.
Yep. I think it shouldn't be. But
from a highway standpoint, it only matters if it's in the right of way, as far as what you use for a post.
Well,
it's in the right of way, which we can't have it in the right of way anyway.
Correct.
If it were, it'd have to be breakaway or shielded.
Right.
So, if it's not in the right way, I'm not sure it matters.
Okay. Well, I think we should do a final draft and present it to Deb,
mm-hmm.
and see if it goes through, and then go from there.
Yep.
Yeah.
If it don't, and we have to go and ask for a variance because of the, if it's the poles or the location or whatever.
Yeah, the size or whatever.
This one smaller, that we were looking at is slightly below. Slightly under.
Right, and
yeah,
so the 4x4 post sticking out that much isn't going to add much.
Leeway.
Right? It's only 4 inches.
Yeah, it's like 11.25 square, and the other one is 12
yeah.
square.
So the 11.25 is better anyway for the
if we had to add a post for the post. And they say if it's within, what, 5% or something?
Well, you can see how big of a sign you get for 12 square. I mean, it's not a bad size.
It's not bad.
Nope.
Size.
So even if you got to make it a little smaller, accommodate the posts. Then I think
that's a lot bigger than what we were pointing at when
yes.
we turned around.
Good job.
Yep.
Yeah.
Very good.
I think
very
we
good.
Should move on. Do it.
Yes. Okay. Anything else under old business? No. Next meeting, hazardous mitigation plan. Dara will be here for 15 minutes to review the plan.
Wants to do the 15th, not...
Oh, the 15th?
I think she can't do the first.
Okay. Whatever date it is, then. 15?
I think it's 8:15 she wants.
8:15, okay. And
what was,
while
what was
we're on
date?
That...
8:15.
But
August
the date,
15th.
July... Oh,
August
15th. August 15th.
Yeah.
You'll also have a liquor board meeting prior to that meeting. I'll try and remind you. So the next meeting coming up, you'll have to be early with the site visit. And the meeting after that, you'll have to be early again because you'll have a liquor board meeting for Bill Munts.
Okay.
The state has staggered them now instead of just having them all in one shot. We used to do them all in like February, March. So.
Who was in charge of the liquor board?
We are.
Well, I was just asking because the last, there was a meeting or two before and it had different names on it. I was just curious if they were the same people or not.
It's funny we call it liquor board, but it's really the beer and wine.
Right.
Yeah. And the state usually sends us notices if, or sends them to Lori if there's violations, so we would look at that and we can approve it or not approve it. Any other new business?
Does anyone know what's going on with the burnt out house on Mill Road? any information. Someone told me that there was lights going on and off in it. Like there, and so I guess the concern was that kids might be going in and out of the place.
Well, if you notice anything,
the power would be shut off if it was had a fire in there.
Maybe they're in there with flashlights.
Oh, maybe, yeah, some flashlights.
I guess the concern was that someone might get injured in the house, kid or whatever. Just thought I'd mention it.
Oh, I hope the homeowner's got good insurance in case someone gets hurt in there.
I believe there's an ongoing investigation. So
if they take the house down, they won't be able to rebuild it. Mm-hmm. It's, you know.
We know.
You know.
Okay.
Another site visit.
If
anything else, I'd like to make a motion to go into executive session for personnel.
Okay. During that executive session, I would like to ask Dave, I don't know if you were going to.
Oh, no.
But I would like to ask Dave just to stay for 5 minutes. I have a question. It's nothing to do with personnel. It's another matter about maybe a purchase of things.
Okay.
Exactly. Quick question I'd like to ask you.
Okay.
A purchase of something.
Okay. Thank you very much for coming. Good meeting. And thank you.
Good.
Yeah.
Summer tree.
He's over there. Where? You?
Hey, you know mushrooms, right?
I do.
Do you remember what was on the list?
Oh.
Tom, my first wife died from eating poison mushrooms. My second wife died from gunshot wound. She wouldn't eat the poison mushrooms.
I used to pick them all the time. Oh, the cows are in here. Don't worry about them. The cows won't bother you.
We'll get it.
We're outside.
Bye.
Good
night.
Thank
you.
So,
all
right. So that's the one.
Oh yes.
Quick.
Just accepted Denault's letter.
Johnny, if you need any money for that sign, let me know. That's a no-brainer. Let's get this behind us.
So I'll look into her concern with the font size. And see if that's an issue or whatever.
I think it's Dave talked to her when he left, and it's more of like her road sign regulatory stuff.
Yeah.
I think you just gotta maybe check with Deb and say, here's our.
Yeah, she'll tell us.
Yeah, so I'll have another one made up. I'll have the end taken off, the public taken off, or just the library.
If Deb tells us something,
and I'll leave it here in the office so Deb can check it out. And then. I don't know, we'll go from there.
We can do the permit.
We can ask her about the post part.
We'll ask her about the post. Yeah, the posts are part of the sign. And we'll
I was never clear on whether it did or not. I'm
the one. But I feel like the 12 square feet for this town sign is.